Hey, Bible readers, I'm Tara Lee Cobble, and I'm your host for The Bible Recap. As we prepare to start this process together, I thought it might be helpful to walk you through some really practical steps for how to read the Bible. I'll give you a bit of a sneak peek into my process in case any of the things I do might be helpful for you. But that's not to say that what works for me will work for you. I want you to find the things that work best for you. And it may be trial and error for a while, so be patient with yourself. Anytime you try something new, it rarely goes perfectly right out of the gate. Give yourself a chance to adjust and adapt. First, let's talk about time. When are you going to read the Bible? Set a time for it. Put it in your calendar so you treat it with respect. For most of my life, I read the Bible at the end of the day because I'm a night owl and it's when I feel most alert. So I'd also lie to myself that it was a better time for me because, unlike in the morning, I had nowhere to be in the middle of the night so I could stay up as long as I wanted and read the Bible. But that never happened. I just rushed through it half-focused while my mind went back to whatever happened that day. Then I'd go right back to checking Twitter or replying to emails, and no matter how much I learned during my time in the Word, I would never remember it the next day. It served me for about 20 whole minutes until I fell asleep. It wasn't impacting my thoughts or the way I lived, and I can't speak for anyone else who prefers to read their Bible at night, but personally, I never, ever, ever meditated on God's Word in my dreams. I wish I were that holy. So I decided to move my Bible reading to the first part of my day, just for a week, to see if it made a difference. People kept talking about that as being important, so I decided to give it a shot. It wasn't an easy shift, since I'd made a pretty solid habit of doing it at night, but I kept at it. I started to see how fruitful it was. And since I'm a results-driven person by nature, that was enough to make me want to build my schedule around that change. Find the time that works best for you. If it's been no time, then any time will be better. There's no shame in the nighttime quiet time game. But if there's any way at all that your time with God can happen within the first hour or so of your day, all the better. And I also feel like I need to say this. Some of the people I know who don't read their Bible are some of the most compassionate people I know. They feel like they can't make time for God because there are so many pressing needs around them, and they want to enter in and help those people in all those spaces. So they give themselves away all the time. And while that's a beautiful way to live, it's also mostly foolish. You will hit a wall. You will come to the end of yourself. You cannot pour out of something that is empty. You can't serve others well if you don't recognize your own frailty and need for God first. Get filled up before you try to pour out. You were meant to serve people out of an overflow, not out of a vacuum. So please, for your own spiritual and emotional and relational health, come to Scripture and get your own needs for God met first. Then you'll have something more life-giving to offer others, and you won't feel as depleted on the other side of it. I know it feels unnatural to you, but I'm asking you to give this a try. Trust God when He says you need Him. Okay, now let's talk about location. Try to find a spot that's just for you and God, even if it's the floor of your closet underneath the winter coats. Maybe it's in your car in the driveway before you leave for work, or in the parking lot at work. Maybe it's when the kids are down for a nap, right before you crash too. If at all possible, find a place where you can get alone with Him. For some of you, this won't be possible. I realize that. You're never alone because you have two kids under three and they need you constantly. Listen, I do not get it. I do not understand what your life is like, but He does. And since I know for a fact that He wants time with you, I'm asking Him to carve out time for Himself in your schedule and to help you make the most of the space He's put you in. I'm asking Him to help you focus beyond the distractions that might call for your attention. We're all in different spots, so there's no shame in this either. You just need to do the best you can and know that it's huge that you're prioritizing this in your life. What really matters here is that you're setting your heart to learn more about God, to pursue time with Him. Don't expect it to look like anyone else's time with God. Now that we've got our time and location, let's talk about our process. Here's what I do. I have the Bible app on the home screen of my phone in the top right corner. I don't want it to get lost on my screen. I've also set up a notification in the app itself that reminds me every morning to read my Bible. I've set that notification to arrive in the middle of the night, so it's on my screen when I wake up. Yes, I sleep with my phone beside my bed. I know that's bad for you, but at least I put it on airplane mode at night. And even on airplane mode, that notification still pushes through, even though nothing else does. I also use my phone as my alarm, so I have to pick up the phone to turn the alarm off. And that's when I see the Bible app notification staring right back at me saying, "Don't forget to read your chronological reading plan." All I have to do is click on it, and it takes me to that day's reading. At that point, I'm still in bed. I might be tempted to check my email or the weather or Instagram, but I resist the urge. Those things will still be there after my priority time, which, by the way, is what I call my time with God in the morning. Lots of people call it by other names, like quiet time, Jesus time, Bible time, but I had to call it something that reminded me of its position in my life. Above and beyond anything else in my world, this is my priority. God is my first and foremost. He gets the first fruits of my life and my day. When I open that day's reading, I push the play button to have the app read that day's chapters to me aloud. I do this before my feet hit the ground. That's my rule. I want God's words in my ears before my feet are on the floor. As I make my coffee and wash my face, I've got scripture rolling through my ears. At this point, I'm still waking up, so I'm not necessarily catching everything that I've heard, and sometimes the sound of the faucet drowns out the sound from my phone for a few seconds, but overall, I'm trying to listen well and wake my mind up to the word. I'm primarily an auditory learner, so doing this helps me engage with themes and repeated phrases I might not notice when I read with my eyes. I'm taking mental notes as I listen through it, and on most days, you'll find that our chronological reading plan takes 12 minutes to listen through, sometimes more, sometimes less, but that's a solid average. The app automatically moves through each of the chapters assigned to that day. It's usually around 3 chapters. After it plays through all of them for the day, I turn my phone on silent, once again resisting the urge to check my text messages, and I leave it in my kitchen. That's when I go out to my balcony, which is my priority time spot. I only take my Bible, my journal, my pen with me, and my coffee. And if you want to get fancy with highlighters, stuff like that, you totally can, but you don't need anything other than the basics. As I mentioned in episode 1, I use the ESV translation, the English Standard Version, and I walked you through my reasons for choosing that particular version. If you don't have any idea which translation you want to read, you can use the Bible app to compare and contrast readability, and then, once you've decided on a translation, I strongly encourage you to get a print Bible. It's easy to forget the Bible exists if you don't see it. Once I'm on the balcony, I open up my Bible to the chapters for the day. And by the way, if you're forgetful, you may want to write those down in your journal before you leave your phone somewhere else, so you don't have to go back and check and then once again resist the urge to check your social media or your email. So I sit down with my Bible and I read those same chapters with my eyes that I just finished reading with my ears. Even though I'm mostly an auditory learner, this gives me the opportunity to take it at my own pace, to reread, to ask God questions about what I'm reading. And despite preferring audio in almost every other area of my life, reading with my eyes is always my best trip through those chapters. By the way, the time it takes you to listen to the Bible, that approximate 12 minutes, might take longer for you. It might take less time for you, but it's probably going to take longer when you read it with your eyes. The reason is, you may want to go reread something. You may want to slow down in a section. This is not a bad thing, but all that to say, I have no idea how long it's going to take you to read because you may want to cover some ground multiple times to really get some insights. Sometimes, not always, I'll make a third trip through the passages where I listen to the Bible app while I read the chapters with my eyes. That helps me make sure I'm seeing everything clearly. Now, I'm probably not going to do this on a genealogy-heavy day, but especially if I feel confused or even especially in awe, I'll do that. Okay, so we've covered time, location, and process, but I don't want to forget one of the most important things of all. Let's talk about your mindset. This may sound weird, but at the very least, let's aim to treat this with the same level of importance as we would any other relationship in our lives. Even though he's God and he's more important than our other relationships, our temptation is to treat him as though he's not even a person. So when I say treat it like other relationships, for most of us, this isn't a downgrade, but an upgrade from the way we've been treating him. We don't usually honor him well because he's always so available to us, and probably also because he's so invisible. That's one reason we fail to schedule time with him. We just do it whenever is convenient for us, which often turns out to be never. I once heard John Piper say that he treats his time with God like he'd treat a meeting with any other person. If he's reading the Bible and somebody rings his doorbell, he asks God for permission to be excused. What? Listen, when you meet with God, you're engaging with a real person who has a real personality and real desires and takes real action. If you have a hard time remembering this, maybe you need to sit across from an empty chair and let that be the place you imagine him coming to meet with you when you read your Bible and pray. Begin by recognizing that he is real and that you are in a real relationship with him. As with any real relationship, it needs time to grow. It may be a little awkward at first when you're moving through the small talk, getting to know each other. You may jump to some conclusions about him that you find out later are wrong when you have more information. That's okay. And just like in any relationship, it's important to ask good questions and pay attention to what the other person is saying. When something stands out at you as really awesome or encouraging, take a note about it in your journal and put a star by it and circle the star. I love being able to look back through my journals and see what jumped out at me, being able to testify, oh, I learned this on that day, and here's the passage of scripture that it came from. When you're confused about something you read, write down a question about it in your journal. I like to put a question mark beside it and circle the question mark because that helps me remember to research it later. Hopefully, I don't still have that same question again next year or even next week. Sometimes I do my research right away if I have time, but other times I save all my research for the one day of the week where I usually try to dig in deeper, which is my Sabbath. By the way, if you're interested in knowing more about how and where to look for answers, we will be releasing an exclusive episode for our Patreon supporters in January with more info on how to actually study the Bible instead of just read it. And we'll even link to lots of free tools you can use in your research. If you want access to that episode, just swipe up and click the link to our Patreon page for more info. My journal is filled with stars and question marks, and it all serves as evidence that my time with God is not boring. In what I think will be my 10th trip through the Bible, I still expect to learn new things about God that I've never seen before. I love that God's Word is living and active because I'm going to be reading it every day for the rest of my life, and I never want it to get boring. I want to keep learning new things about Him. Bible readers, I'm excited to be on this journey with you. If you haven't subscribed to the Bible Recap, do that now. I also want to point you to something else we've just launched, our Patreon page. Patreon is a win-win for everyone. Not only does it help us keep this podcast running, but it also connects you with some extra access goodies that you wouldn't have otherwise, like bonus episodes, an online community, cool t-shirts, videos, and Q&R hangouts. That's question and response hangouts. Details are in the show notes or at patreon.com/thebiblerecap. And if these first few episodes have been helpful to you so far, I would love it if you would pop over and leave a review, preferably a 5-star, so that other people like you can find us and get more tools to engage in their relationship with God. It's going to be a great year for all of us as we pursue Him together, because He is where the joy is. The Bible Recap is brought to you by D Group, discipleship and Bible study groups that meet in homes and churches around the world each week. If you're looking for a group of people to study the Bible with in person, find or start a D group near you by visiting mydgroup.org. That's mydgroup.org.